Breaking news,
and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome back again to another great week of the Expressway with Charles Show Me the Way and the BT Express Billy Taylor. We are being brought to you live on alumnimedia.com. Check us each and every Wednesday on alumnimedia.com. If you miss us on alumnimedia.com live on Wednesdays, you can always check us out by video on YouTube at 9 a.m. Just check us out. The Expressway, BT, the BT Express, and Charles Show Me the Way each and every Wednesday live coming at you on NFLAlumniMedia.com. I want to thank Ben back at the studio for making us look and sound so great, and the Giants for allowing us to have something to talk about even though the season is over. I mean, do you believe all the stuff? I thought we weren't the Jets, BT, but you hear all the internal turmoil. You got Wink Martindale leaving. You got the two brothers leaving. And now all of the dirt is coming out. You got people inside the building talking to the press, leaking certain things. Do you think it's probably Wink Martindale's crew, or do you think it's somebody amongst the Giants staff that just wants to spill the beans and kind of undermine what Brian Daboll is doing with the Giants?
I think it's a combination of both. You can hear me all right, Charles, right?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I think it's a combination of both. If you remember last week, we were still undecided about Wink, and I had heard before that, and I saw it because, like I said, I went to a few games this year when they were yelling at each other on the sideline. Now, Wink is about maybe a foot taller than Daboll, and so it was like he was looking up and one was looking down, and I said to myself, I would never want somebody to show me up like that, because no matter what you try to hide, everything is seen on the sideline. And I thought, I don't know if I could work for somebody like that who treated me like that, yelled at me, and disrespected me in front of other people. So I think it was a no-brainer for Wink to leave. And I think the other two brothers, I think that they kind of realized that Daboll's he might be kind of like having the little man complex, because I see him yelling at Ty Taylor. I see him yelling at Danny Jones. It's when you yell at somebody, Charles. It's not, you know, how you do it. I think you got to do that stuff in private if people don't want to be doing it in the public.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. When you hear news coming out that Brian Daboll had a very fiery temper during game days and yelling at coaches and taking the play calling duties away from Kafka at some time and giving them to the offense, the quarterback's coach, and taking them away from the quarterback's coach and having him call the plays. And if you believe everything you read in the paper, it shows you a little bit of dysfunction on the sidelines during game day. The story that came out even speculated that Joe Shane was on the headsets to kind of get a feel for what the, you know, what the situation was. Was he truly that disorganized, or just that made it so chaotic on the sideline that they couldn't function? I mean, obviously, based on the last three games of the season, which they were very competitive, they didn't have anything to play for, and the players looked like they wanted to play and they wanted to win games. You wouldn't think that would be the case, but now that some of this information, albeit you got to take it with a grain of salt, whether you believe it or not, but when information comes out, some of it, you know, some of it has to be true. And so when you look at all of that, what do you think, how will this team now, given the dysfunction that has occurred over the past, what, ever since Tom Coughlin left, there has been dysfunction within the Giants. And so based on that experience, and based on what you've now heard or learned about Brian Daboll, does this now put extra pressure on Daboll to have a great season next year?
Well, he's got to bring in a coaching staff first. And I guarantee you that there's a lot of openings, you know, for coaches, but I guarantee you that other people are listening to this. I mean, other coaches are deciding, well, should I come to the Giants because of Dable, or should I come because, you know, he's going to give me a chance to do a good job in my job? My worry is that he's got to learn how to talk to people. And the thing about him, he's got that little man complex, which I think is not doing him any good at this time, because the last maybe six games of the season, he's been a tyrant on the sideline. And how could you put up with that if you're a defensive coordinator or even offensive coordinator? So Wink Martindale will not have a problem at all getting another job.
But wasn't – now, I didn't ever play for Bill Parcells, but wasn't Bill Parcells rough on his coaches as well?
Yes, he was. And, I was with Parcells at Texas Tech, and then I was with him 3 years on the Giants. And he was a nasty, mean guy. You would never have thought that. Say, but, see, he uses his psychology trying to get somebody to motivate. And so the problem with him is that, you know, he did it too much. Like, he'd come up to you and say different things. And he was a very communicative coach. You know, he's the kind of coach that would talk to you about everything. But and I'll say this real quickly. He couldn't do it to Lawrence Taylor. Like, he told Lawrence, come on, let's get going. Lawrence wouldn't pay attention to him. But when he told Lawrence that Hugh Green, who's another linebacker for the Tampa Bay Bucks, was better than him, then he got LT to go out and get four sacks. But so you had to find a way to motivate your people, and I don't think Brian Daboll has been able to do that.
Yeah, I think there are certain coaches you can yell and you can cuss out on the sidelines. Certain coaches, like certain players, you can yell and coach and cuss out on the sidelines. I think now from a coaching standpoint, I think you do have to show a sense of decorum on the sideline. I don't know if that Bill Parcells mantra or attitude actually works nowadays. I don't see it. When you look at Bill Belichick, even though he came from the Parcells tree, and I don't think he even yells as much as he does. It seems like he kind of lets his coaches do, even when they are screwing up and aren't calling a great game. You don't see him getting too emotional. And that's just because of a lot of experience and a lot of championship titles, you believe.
Well, the worst one I saw him do was him and Phil Simms went right at it on the sideline, yelling at each other. But see, he knew he could do that with Phil Simms. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to know your players. You got to know who you can do it to, mm-hmm. who you can't do it, who's sensitive as heck. I'm sensitive, Charles. As a running back, you got to talk to me nicely. If you didn't talk to me nicely, I'm going to get mad and cop a tube against you. I've always thought that way. It's the way you talk to people and to find out how they want to be talked to. So that's why I'm worried about Brian Daboll, because other coaches see that, other players see that. Will they nix the Giants because of his attitude?
Yeah, I don't think they'll fire Brian Daboll, given the history of what they've done to Giant coaches. I think they do. They still believe in Coach Daboll. I think the players still believe in him. I just think that they got to have a great offseason. He has to have a great defensive coordinator hire. He has to kind of bring some semblance of calm and ease, not only amongst the coaching staff, but you want the players to believe that there's nothing going on in the coaching staff. Obviously, all of this news now is out there. The players have now said, even though they didn't experience that turmoil between Martindale and Daboll, now that it's in the media, they know about it. And because they are fired, you got to bring somebody in with credibility on the defensive side of the ball. And you got to get the offense back in line to the way you call offenses. And maybe it's time for Coach Daboll to put the onus on him. He has let him, since he was the offensive guru at the Buffalo Bills, maybe he should take over the play calling duties. Because if you read the article, he did take over the play calling duties for 3 weeks, and they still didn't do any much better than what they were doing the weeks prior. So I think he has a lot to prove this year. I think this is a year that Giant fans expect, especially how they ended. Giant fans expect them to do better than they did this year, and they got to be a playoff team next year. They have to make the playoffs next year, or Joe Shane and Coach Daboll should be on the hot seat.
Well, the thing about it is that we're in a new age of football, Charles. What I mean by that is that people want stuff done yesterday. And if the coach doesn't do well, you look at some of the coaches the Giants fired the last 6 or 7 years. They only got 2 years. And the thing about it is the Giants never did that before. And I think nowadays, because of people winning now, you look at the coach of Houston Texans, he goes in there his first year, makes the playoffs. He's setting the standard for other coaches. When you get in there, you don't have all day to get this together. You got to be able to, get people on the same page at the same time very quickly. If you don't, you look yourself fighting for another job.
You're absolutely right. And when you look at over the history of the league, D'Amico Ryan's the telltale season because no one expected them to make the playoffs. Now expectations are much higher. And for him, he has to go into the offseason, whether they win this weekend or not. He has to go into the offseason. How do we get better? How do we continue to improve on giving CJ Stroud the tools necessary to become a great quarterback, as he's shown he could be? So you can't regress. You got to keep that team motivated. They may not win this week, but you got to keep that team motivated and pressing. And I think that's where the Giants came up short, is because after making the playoff, expectations were high, knowing that they still didn't have the talent to compete with the Philadelphia Eagles or the Cowboys. But you have to be competitive. And that's what they did Brian Daboll's first year. That's what they didn't do this year under Brian Daboll.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, I think they got lucky a little bit because, normally Philadelphia would have beat them badly, because the last 3 or 4 times, the games were not close at all. So I think that's a feather in Brian Daboll's cap because he was able to beat the defending NFC champions. The bad thing is that the Eagles were terrible, and they said that they didn't think the Giants were that good. So the Giants really got to step up, because the two people that are in their way, the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles, are both better than the Giants when they play their best. Giants have got to come up to where they are. Otherwise, it'll be another year where we're wondering what's happening with the season ticket holders, myself included, why nobody wants their tickets.
That's exactly right. Now let's turn, we got a lot to talk about. We're going to turn our attention to the Jets, which is very, very quiet over there, outside of Mr. YouTube, Mr. Pat McAfee, Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, A lot of controversy surrounding Aaron Rodgers. You got him now getting kicked off of Pat McAfee's show. Won't appear anymore this season on Pat McAfee, given the situation of what he said and regarding the Epstein thing and who was with Epstein, who wasn't with Jeff, Epstein. And so when you hear all of this, do you think this helps the Jets be a team that's a playoff caliber, championship caliber team, or is it part of the distraction that surrounds Aaron Rodgers?
It is part of the distraction that surrounds Aaron Rodgers. I don't see why he got into that subject matter at all. Unless you got proof and people on tape and you got, something to show people that you know what you're talking about, it's a waste of time. Even nowadays, if you don't know what you're talking about, keep your mouth shut. He has not done anything for the Jets as of yet. He played in 4 plays. That's about it. He looks like he's the owner of the team. He acts like he's, taking over. But I think he's got to sit back and be cool for a little while. For him to get thrown off Pat McAfee's show, that's a negative. And that's one of the few negatives he's had this year. He's got to figure out a way to bring that back. He can do it by coming in healthy and helping the Jets win.
Yeah, absolutely right. I think otherwise, no one's even worrying about the Jets. No one's even talking about the Jets. And I think everybody over at in Florham Park would like that. Don't talk about us. We don't want to be on the radar. We don't want to be on anyone's radar. So when you have Aaron Rodgers always coming up in the media for something he says irrelated to football, then it kind of just causes more distraction. And I don't think the Jets need that, especially if they have Super Bowl aspirations next year, given that they're all of their defense can come back. They have a tremendous defense, and just filling in the pieces, trying to upgrade that offensive line this offseason, whether it's via free agency or the draft, doing that. But we got a lot more to talk about. We're coming up on our second quarter where we're going to get into the Super Wild Card Weekend matchups and give you a recap of what we thought around Super Wild Card Weekend. Take a minute. We'll be right back in a second. And welcome back to the Expressway. I'm Charles Show Me Way here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor. And you're watching the Expressway live on NFLAlumniMedia.com. Check us each and every Wednesday morning on AlumniMedia.com. You can check us out live each and every Wednesday morning on NFLAlumniMedia.com. And also, if you miss us live on Wednesdays, you can always check us out on Fridays starting at 9 a.m. on YouTube, each and every Friday at 9 a.m. on YouTube. Well, BT, I don't know if this was the best Super Wild Card Weekend. I hated the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs, Miami Dolphins were on Peacock, even though they had a $22.5 million rating, had 22 million people watch the game. So that was successful. So unfortunately, we're going to get that probably again next year. And so as long as your team is not playing, you're going to have to pay to watch a wild card playoff game, it seems like, and because it was so successful. But the wild card games wasn't that great. I think most of the games were blowouts. When you look at the Cleveland and Texans game, CJ Stroud, that was CJ Stroud's coming out party. Now they play Buffalo. I mean, I think this week is going to be the telltale sign of whether CJ Stroud is the real deal and Lamar Jackson is a phony.
Well, see, this is the thing that gets me. This was a test for the NFL to put Peacock in there, just throw it in the middle of their wild card, because they were testing it out. And I believe, and I know you are with me, that the Super Bowl may be on pay-per-view within a couple years, because they're going to make it to 18-game schedule. They went from 16 to 17. They're going to make it to 18. And I do believe, Charles, that this is a setup, because – you know, and I said, this will never happen in the NFL. It's always going to be free TV. But as long as you have Amazon, Peacock, and a whole bunch more, it gives the NFL a chance to make more money. And that's what it's all about. The thing that scares me is that a lot of people won't even have the network, Peacock, or whatever they come up with, because a lot of people don't have it. I had to order especially for the game. And if I think about it, I probably should have waited till the morning, because the NFL network put the game on then. So I should have waited and saved my money. But I think this is the way they're going, and there's nothing to do that you can do to stop it.
Yeah, I think that is the case. And I just hate that it's going to take the non-football fan out of that process, because what makes football, NFL football, so great is the casual fan can come along and watch it anytime they want. They don't have to pay for it. They don't have to search for it. It's just on their regular TV. And I think if they continue to go down this route, you're going to lose the casual fan, which the NFL, I think, has done the best job outside of all the other professional sport teams or sport leagues, has done a better job of capturing the attention of the casual fan. I.e. the Super Bowl is the number one watched event in the country every year.
Well, the thing about it, and I'm kind of crazy for bringing it up, you look at a Taylor Swift. She brought in some casual fans. Will they pay Peacock for it? I mean, she's got enough money and stuff, but they're talking about, okay, when Giants Stadium opened the new doors in 2009, they had more women fans than ever before, that are buying season tickets, that are interested in football. So when Taylor Swift comes around and she brings her little Swifties with her, they have a chance to be fans if they don't have to pay for it on Peacock. So I'm interested to see what the casual fan, as you say, does when there's a lot of money to give up for a free game What do they do?
I totally agree with you. I'm right there with you. I'm curious to see what the casual fan does when you look at that. Now, getting back to the game, did you Joe Flacco really came back down to earth and said, okay, I'm gonna hang up my football helmet. I think I need to go back into retirement because that Houston Texans defense was all over the Cleveland Browns offense.
Well, see, what I like is that the defense of Houston has improved so much. Cleveland comes in at the number one or two defense in all of football. They didn't show that. And I think it's Joe Flacco's fault. The thing that I don't like is, remember, I talked about it all season. Don't make a mistake at the quarterback position to turn the ball over. If you don't turn the ball over, your team always has a chance. Now, Flacco wasn't that good when he came to the Jets. When he came back, he's 39 years of age. He thinks he had a decent season, so he may come back next year to unseat somebody at the Cleveland Brown level because Deshaun Watson is not 100%, but he's got guaranteed money. So I just think Flacco can only be a backup, and he showed that over the weekend.
Yeah, I agree with you. When you look at what they've done over the course of the year, you were expecting a better game, and unfortunately, you didn't get that. Cleveland's offense didn't show up. Cleveland's defense, you know, one of the top three defenses in the league, they didn't even show up, and that was kind of disappointing.
Well, some people say a lot of people didn't show up over the weekend because, you know, and I really hate to say that, but, you know, I did not have any ill feelings to the Cowboys losing like they did. I was just scared that the Cowboys were going to come back because it was 27-0. Then it was 27-3 or 27-7. And I think Green Bay showed us that Love is a legitimate quarterback. And is the Dallas defense that bad, or has Love improved that tremendously?
I think it's the curse of Jimmy Johnson to be, you know, ever since they fired Jimmy Johnson, they have never been the same. And Jerry Jones has been looking for that secret sauce ever since. And I don't foresee them winning another Super Bowl anytime soon. There aren't any great coaching candidates out there. When you look, what about the Eagles and the Bucks? I mean, that debacle. If you're a Giants fan, that was a great Super Wild Card weekend for you. The Eagles looked terrible. Their epic collapse happened right in front of our faces. They didn't even look like they competed. And did you see the guy on YouTube who said, "Sirianni, you suck," and he threw the popcorn on Sirianni as he was leaving the game? It's ridiculous over there.
Yeah, but see, the turnaround that Sirianni has is incredible. I mean, they go to the Super Bowl last year, and then they looked terrible most of the whole season. Even though they were 10-1, they didn't look like a 10-1 season. Then they get beat 6 out of the last 7, and the way they played against the Giants and the Bucks is a cause for somebody to get fired. And I don't think they'll do that, but if you act like if anybody else had a loss 6 out of 7 and then look terrible doing it, the ownership would have to think about getting rid of them.
Yeah, and then when you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Bills, that was never a game. I think the story out of that was Mike Tomlin coming back. Obviously, he said last week he's coming back. I know he's upset about his contract situation, but when you look at coaches in the NFL, he should be the highest paid coach in the NFL, if not one of the highest paid coaches in the NFL.
Well, I like Tomlin. I like the way he talks to people. I like the way he talks to his team. I like him being logical. They don't have a good offense, but they still made it as far as they did to the playoffs. And I think that's totally coaching. He has a right to be mad because after the game, they asked him about his contract first. They should have asked about the game. He just lost a tough game. And let me tell you this. And you as a former player and me as a former player, that was a tough situation to go into. For the NFL to cancel a game on Sunday in Buffalo, you know, something had to be up. I saw the conditions. The wind conditions had to be 70 miles an hour. Snow was coming down probably 2 inches per hour. They had like 3 feet of snow in Buffalo. And then when the fans were in the stands, they didn't even clean the snow off the seats. They were just throwing snow in the air. So It was a tough situation for anybody. And I think, you know, he should have been asked after the game what he thought about the situation. First thing, a girl, a lady, and I'm not putting on a lady reporter, but she asked him about his contract. And I didn't think that was appropriate at that time.
He looked at her and walked off. That was a classic reaction. Loved it. And now you talk about the Lions. Dan Campbell has brought some legitimacy to a city that hasn't seen a playoff win in almost 30 years, which is amazing. He kind of now has brought some legitimacy to the Lions. This week is going to be a major test for them against San Francisco. I think the Rams actually – Sean McVay is a legit coach. He kind of showed why they picked him as a coach. It wasn't just because he had a lot of talent. I mean, he played with guys that were not real, like, all-stars, all-pro talent, and he was able to win games and be competitive. So you got to give some props to Sean McVay. But Dan Campbell bought the Lions their first playoff win, which is exciting for Detroit.
Now, I had Green Bay at San Francisco. You got Detroit at San Francisco?
I got Green Bay at San Francisco.
Okay. I was, you know, I think Detroit is an example of if you give a coach time to put his program in, he can improve from week to week. Mm-hmm. The last couple of years, Detroit has played hard for him. And you and I both look at teams that play hard for their coach. Detroit does that. And I think Detroit deserves where it's going to be. They play the Bucs this week. It's not going to be easy because the Bucs are coming in there almost with a conceded Mayfield.
Yeah, and then the Chiefs and the Dolphins. We wrap this segment up with the Chiefs and the Dolphins. The Dolphins you know what? Dolphins can't – I mean, coming from Miami, you're not going to play in what? Two below with a wind chill, minus 10, minus 7. Come on now. They didn't have a chance in that game. I think they wanted to get on the plane as soon as they stepped onto the field and get back to Miami as fast as possible. Pat Mahomes started off slow, but ended amazing. He was on all day, all game. And Chiefs may still be the team to beat in the AFC.
Well, it's really different because Tua, I was wanted to see how he played because his contract situation is up. He wants to be one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league, but he didn't show me that game. He did show that he can hang in there. I mean, like I said, it's tough conditions to play in Kansas City, minus below, and I think that Kansas City, that's why they had home field, because, you know, so they can do that kind of stuff, because if they had played in Miami, it could have been closer. I don't know if Miami would have won, but Tua probably would have been in better situation for him.
Yeah, and so I'm looking forward to this weekend's game. This is probably my last segment with you guys. I got to run. But before we go, my picks for this wild card weekend, this weekend, I got San Francisco.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Yep.
Beating Green Bay, which should be a good game. This is a test to see if Love is the real deal. I'm surprising everybody. I got Detroit over the Bucs. I'm not going with my man Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Bucs. I'm going to ride the Dan Campbell train, and I'm going to take them. On the AFC side, this is Lamar Jackson's prove it to me game. They should beat Houston without a doubt. They're playing in Baltimore. It's going to be cold in Baltimore. Lamar Jackson should have a great game, should beat the Houston Texans. And then finally, the last game is a toss up. You know, I still love Kansas City. You can't I want to see the Kansas City Baltimore rematch. I want to see Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes go at it, and I want to see Lamar show up. That's going to be my prove it game. That's the dream matchup I want, but I'm going to go with Kansas City this week, and those are my picks. When we come back, we got the coaches on the hot seat. We got Belichick getting released. We got Pete Carroll leaving. So you got enjoy the rest of the show. I enjoyed being my time with you this week. We'll be right back in a moment.
on the alumnimedia.com. We call it the Expressway. Billy Taylor and Charles Way. We're on each and every week on Wednesdays. We usually go from 10:30 to 11:30. Just depends. But today I got some things to do, so we were on earlier. And then don't forget on Friday morning, we come on YouTube at 9 o'clock a.m. And just Ben and I are hanging out right now. Charles had something to do. And Ben, what's really interesting is that you being in Chicago, a lot of people are talking about Justin, the quarterback, maybe possibly trading him so they can get the top pick, which is, I think, Calvin Williams of USC. It's too cold in Chicago as it is. It's freezing in New York where we are now. But do you think this quarterback from USC can come in and take Justin's job, or has Justin done a pretty decent job thus far?
Yeah, I agree. Thanks for having me on, Billy. Awesome. Awesome show. Big fan. You're right. As far as the story in Chicago right now, it really is a bit of a quarterback drama. For me, I'm team Justin Fields all day. I think he's him. I think he's proved the competency to be a number one quarterback to take us with the right team around him, take us as far as we need to go. But that being said, I'm one of those people who try to think a little outside the box. I'd like to see us still draft a quarterback with him on the team, and maybe get some competition. I know that's kind of a crazy thought. I don't know if they'll have the money or the strategy to pull that off. But that's what I think would be the best outcome if we got a new quarterback to kind of drum up some competition, or at least maybe learn from Justin, and that kind of let football take its course and see who wins that starting job.
And Ben, which is incredible, is that you came up with that yourself. You know, I could, because Justin, you know, a lot of people have been thinking that same thing. Now, I watched him the last couple of years. He's improved tremendously, but the team hasn't improved. They got rid of a couple coaches on their staff, but I still think they got a lot of stuff they got to move. But if they take another quarterback, that means that they're wasting a pick that you got. I understand, and I totally believe in the competitive nature of bringing two people in and letting them fight it out. But these days, with the money that's going on, you know, you have to pay Justin, and then you have to pay that quarterback. But the quarterback who comes in, who's a draft pick, gets 5 years before they decide if they want to keep him, because Justin's coming up on his fourth or fifth year. And I like Justin a lot, but in the beginning, he didn't show improvement. At the beginning of this year, he didn't. But the last six games of the season, he showed me that he's worthy of being the NFL quarterback. It's just, what do the Chicago Bears do at this point when they need so many things?
True, yes. I think he did definitely step up in the last half of the year. And it's just getting that offensive line shored up around him. And I think now at where we're standing, they've fired pretty much every coach besides the head coach. So it's just Eberflus apparently has a good grasp on the team. The team really likes him. So a lot of people were thinking they would go and test the free agent coach market, which the news hasn't showed yet. But I know there's a lot of good names out there. So if I could flip the question to you from not a non-Bears fan perspective, what do you think about the coaching situation in Chicago? Should they go for someone in free agency, or if Eberflus has it, do you think it's good to go forward?
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, Ben, this is the first time probably in quite a while where you've had this kind of talent at the coaches. You got Jim Harbaugh of Michigan. He's won the national championship. You got Belichick, who's went to 6 Super Bowls. This is the probably one of the only few times that you're going to be able to do this. So if I was Chicago, I would take a chance. I'd roll the dice because, you know, they haven't shown to be a good offensive juggernaut in a few years. So in order to speed it up, I would take Belichick or Harbaugh. And Harbaugh probably, if you think about it, he can help out Justin Fields because he's a quarterback guru. You know, everywhere he's been, his teams have done well. Even when he was with the 49ers, he did a good job of coaching. They went to the Super Bowl, but they lost. If I was Chicago, and tell me if I'm wrong, though, Ben, should they get rid of the coaches because of who's available now, not because of the timing of it, because Belichick and Harbaugh and even Rabel from Tennessee, they got some good coaches out there who are going to get some jobs. And if you wait a year, I don't think you can get this situation for your team.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I think strike while the iron's hot is one of those things that people love to say, especially in business and sports and stuff like that. When you look at you've got just generational type of coaches as far as Belichick and Harbaugh, I think even just to interview him would be a good process. We've got the new team president and GM and coach. So I think it's kind of crazy. A lot of the fan base is a little disheartened that they haven't been interviewing these guys who are out there. So, yeah.
I don't understand. Go ahead. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, no. I was just going to say that, I think they should. I was expecting them to go and interview Harbaugh at least, but maybe they're giving him some time off since they just won the championship, and I haven't heard of him interviewing elsewhere. So,
well, I just heard that Harbaugh was in with the San Diego Chargers or the L.A. Chargers, interviewed there, and then Atlanta, and then Belichick the same thing. There's one reason I wouldn't go with Atlanta. If I was Belichick, I would not go to Atlanta because they don't have a quarterback, and he is not a quarterback guru. He's great on defense. He's not a good general manager, and I think ever since Brady left, people are thinking, was it Brady or was it Belichick? And just want to get your thoughts from the outside looking in all the way in the Windy City. Do you think that Brady is the one who made Belichick better, or was it both of them, or do you think Belichick was solely the guy?
That's tough. I mean, football is such a team sport that I don't like to ever, say that one person, is the end all be all to a team. So it's hard to say that it would be either one of them. But I think if you were going to put, take one of them away from the situation and what happens, I think Belichick's the more important person. Tom Brady is obviously the GOAT as far as winning Super Bowls. Not to say he wouldn't have won Super Bowls, but I don't know if he'd have 6 or is it 6 now? Crazy.
Yes. Yep. Seven now.
Seven. Wow. A whole hand.
One with Tampa.
2 digits for Super Bowl rings. Yeah, it's tough to say. I don't think either of them win as many times in a row as they do. But Belichick just has that. He's been good with different teams. Never dynasty worthy. But I would say more important would be coaching, just because of the whole team aspect of it.
Well, I think, Ben, that probably the NFL head coach, it's got to be one of the toughest jobs in sports. I mean, I look at manager of a baseball team, coach of a basketball team, coach of a NHL team, and I don't think they got the kind of pressure on that the NFL coaches have, because they got to be ready from week to week. They got to motivate all these people at one time. You look at the Philadelphia Eagles, the coach couldn't get them ready to play against the Bucs this last week. So it shows you that, you know, there's more to it than just X's and O's. And I don't know what to do because, you know, there's so many coaching vacancies, which would probably get our next section. And a lot of people are wondering, you know, who's going to be the next guy. But, you know, I just think that it's one of the toughest jobs in football. I used to go visit Bill Parcells, and he would sleep at the place. He brought a cot into the coach's room, and he'd sleep in the cot. He finished working around 2 or 3 in the morning, get in the cot, and then wake up about 5 or 6. Belichick does the same thing. That is ridiculous. You don't even have time to spend your money, Ben.
Wow. I mean, you got to think, first when I heard that Belichick was retiring, I thought he would maybe be going into retirement. Yeah, exactly what I said. I thought that he would be going into retirement, not right into another job, but it seems like he's still raring to go. So, I mean, just one of those professions that, yeah, it's like, it is your whole life. You wake up and you eat, sleep, and breathe football. That must be something that's a little hard to give away or stop doing. It must be something that he enjoys doing. So it'll be interesting to see him with another team after all these years, though. I'm not sure.
Belichick is...
Go ahead.
Well, Belichick, Ben, is what we call a lifer. You know, his dad was a football coach. I think this is like when I was with him, he was the coach of the Giants, the special team coach when I came there. And then he became the defensive coordinator and he worked his behind off then. And he was in his 20s then. And then now that he's in his 70s, he still has love and passion for the game. And it's really good if you have that so that you want to go out and do something like that, because I've seen a lot of people who do not have the passion for the game. And the thing about it, Pete Carroll of Seattle, he's got passion. He's 72 years old, still jumping around like a kid in the 40s. Mm-hmm. Belichick wants to prove something. I think he's only he's in third place or second place in the all-time coaches' victories. So I think that what happens is that he wants to be the all-time winningest coach in the NFL. He's got to have someone else to do it with. I think if he goes somewhere else, like Atlanta or whatever, and I wouldn't go Atlanta because they don't have a quarterback, but if he does go somewhere, you're going to see him giving his whole effort. The only thing I don't like about him, Ben, is his press conference, because me knowing him, he's got a great personality and he's funny. But if you see him at the press conference, you would think he's a terrible person. And that maybe that's the way he wants to be portrayed. I don't know for sure. But anyway, you listen to the Expressway with Billy Taylor and Charles Way. Charles is on assignment, so we're talking to our leader, Ben. And we come back on the other side. We're going to talk about the coaching openings and then the schedule for Wild Card Weekend in a minute. So do not touch that dial. We'll come back with the coaching situation after these messages. And we're back. We call this the Expressway with Billy Taylor and Charles Way. We're on each and every Wednesday, usually around 10:30. To 11:30, but today we're on earlier because Charles on assignment, and a good guy, Ben, has agreed to take his place and is doing an outstanding job. And don't forget, this is Wild Card Weekend. It's probably one of the funnest weekends in all the NFL. But Ben, with all these coaches being available, what do you think about, like, the guy for, I know fan, but the guy for the Pittsburgh Steelers, is it Mike Tomlin? A lot of people think he's tired and maybe need a rest for a year like Peyton did of Denver. What do you think of Mike Tomlin taking a year off? Because when I looked at him on the sideline, I know it was freezing in Buffalo, et cetera, et cetera, but his face looked like he was tired and worn out. So I don't know if that's any indication, but you know, he's been there 17 years, one of the highest paid coaches in the NFL. Should he take a break sometime? And I think everybody needs a break sometime, Ben.
It's true. Everyone does need a break. I think mostly he needs a break from the Steelers getting eliminated early in the playoffs. He just needs a winning season, I think. A winning season with a good playoff run. I think he's just a little frustrated. Now he's the most tenured coach with a team in the NFL. And I can't remember the exact stat, but it's been a while since they missed the playoffs, and it's been a while since they've been in the AFC Championship either. So I think he might benefit from taking a year off, but it strikes me as the kind of person who's a workaholic. I think you got to be kind of like that as a coach. So I think we'll see him sticking around next year, and hopefully they'll get have a real good shot. I don't know. I know their quarterback situation is still kind of up in the air. They got the young guy who did good and kind of won the starting job at the end of their.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Season just by being there. Yeah, I think you'll see Tomlin next year. It's one of those guys you wish the Bears could pick up. So as far as head coaching goes, but you know, we'll see what they do.
And another question, Ben, I've never been a fan of the Dallas Cowboys. And it's because they've been arrogant. Their owners are arrogant. They went 12-4 or 12-5 the last 3 years in a row under Coach McCarthy. They're talking about firing him because they didn't go well deep into the playoffs. Would you fire the head coach of the Cowboys because he didn't get farther along in the playoffs?
Ooh. Well, I mean, it's hard at this point not to argue for because it's kind of the same situation except for the good history that Mike Tomlin has of getting rings. Yeah, the Cowboys are one of those teams. They're perennial first round or, you know, early exit kind of teams. I think there's a good argument for making a coaching change there, but again, winning team, so it's hard to fire that guy. And I know it's been a revolving door down there in Dallas too. So sometimes just sticking with what you got is the better option. But I think they will probably make a change this year.
Well, see, the thing for me is that, and one of the reasons I don't like the Cowboys is because Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, said years and years ago, about 28 years ago to be exact, that anybody could coach a team. And I thought, well, that was one of the worst statements an owner could have. And then he fires Jimmy Johnson, who had led them to two straight Super Bowls, and he brings in a guy, Barry Switzer. But Barry won the Super Bowl only because of Jimmy's team. And so I think it's something that's put on Jerry Jones because they have a good team. And for them not to get past the first round or even to the NFC Championship, there's got to be something about Jerry Jones. He tries to be the owner. He tries to be the general manager and the PR spokesman. After the game, the reporters go to him instead of the coach. Bill Parcells said when he was coach of the Cowboys that he thought that Jerry Jones meddled too much in the business of football coaching. And I think that took it away. And I totally agree with that. And I think that Jerry Jones is getting what he deserves.
Yeah. A lot of people have been saying that for years. And it's just one of those too many cooks in the kitchen situations. And it's hard to work like that when in any job, when a superior owner is kind of breathing a little too close and, you know, taking liberties. So it's got to be a tough situation for anybody who gets a head coaching job there. Which it'll be interesting. Maybe we'll see Bill Belichick interview down there. That would be funny.
Yeah, it would be funny too, because like I said, I'd have to have some words with Bill Belichick, because, you know, for him to go to the opposition for me is just tough, because I can't, even when Parcells went there, I couldn't root for Parcells and the Cowboys, even though Bill's my friend and I know him forever. I just couldn't, man. And I've ever since I was in high school in San Antonio, Texas, I've always disliked the Cowboys because they've been arrogant. They think they're better than everybody. They call themselves America's team. How could they be America's team when they hadn't been deep in the playoffs in 27 years? So I'm lost. That's Jerry Jones using his publicity stuff to get the Cowboys out there. But I just don't think they're worth it.
Yep. Yeah. I understand that. It's like this year I'll possibly be rooting for the Lions for the first time if they are playing the Packers. So if that matchup happens, then I will be a Lions fan for one game, and then we'll move on. We'll move on and see what happens. But speaking of that, we've got the games coming up this weekend. We've got what do we got? Texas, Baltimore, Green Bay, San Francisco, Tampa, Detroit, and Kansas City, Buffalo. What are you?
Well, let's start with Bucks and Bucks and Detroit. Give me your thoughts on. You said you like Detroit, but do you like the Bucks against them?
That's a tough call. I think Detroit has is probably favored in this one. I like what Baker Mayfield's been able to do. It's just always been a question of consistency. Long story short, I would pick the Lions to win, but I'm not sure if I'm rooting for them. I think.
Well, see. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that was it. Go.
Well, my problem is, okay, just to break it down, Pat Mahomes, quarterback for Kansas City, he went to my college at Texas Tech. Now, Mayfield went to Texas Tech also, but he got hurt. And so he got mad because they brought in Mahomes. He transfers to Oklahoma and wins the national championship and wins the Heisman Trophy. So I've always thought he was kind of conceited and different things like that. But I just think that, you know, he's got a lot to prove, because to go to Detroit playing inside against their team, which is playing hard for their coach, is going to be hard. So I would have to go with Detroit, and we'll just have to see. What's the next game?
Okay, next would be let's go Green Bay and San Francisco.
Who do you like?
Well, I have to root for San Francisco just by proxy, being a Bears fan. I can never root for the Packers. I don't know. I don't think there's a scenario I can root for them. let's see. It's really objectively, I would say San Francisco is probably going to be favored. Green Bay is they're the youngest team to be in the playoffs, which is really impressive. The Jordan Love has been consistent as any third-year quarterback I've ever seen, and it's going to be probably a really good playoff game, so I'm looking forward to seeing that.
It really should be, because Love has shown me one of the biggest improvements of any quarterback in the league, because beginning of the year I didn't like him because he was inconsistent, but now the way he beat the Cowboys and his consistency, he can do it. But San Francisco's got the top defense in all of football, and I think San Francisco wants to prove to people they're the best team in the NFC. So I think because they're playing in San Francisco, Green Bay's got to make that long trip. I'm going with San Francisco.
I like it. I like it. Good logic. From the next game we have the Texans versus Baltimore. So
what do you think?
That's another tough one. The Baltimore's had a really good solid season, and Texas is hot right now. So despite their actual temperature, they're doing really well. In that game, it's probably going to be, I don't know. It's tough to call, because they've been either blowouts or close games so far, how usual playoff games are. But objectively, I would say Baltimore would be the winner. I would be rooting myself as a fan, as a Bears fan. I have No real link, but maybe, you know, the Texans. I know Lovie Smith coached out there. We're all always Lovie fans and supporters out here. So maybe if he's rooting for the Texans, I'll root for the Texans too. But objectively,
that's
I would say that's
a good point.
Yeah. What do you think, Billy?
Baltimore's got the best record in the NFL at 13-3 or 13-4 to end the season. They are favored, so the pressure is on them. And the Texans, really, they got a first-year quarterback. It shouldn't, you know, they're really showing me something offensively and defensively. And C.J. Stroud has shown me that he's an outstanding quarterback. And I think that, you know, if he plays the way that he has been playing previously, it's going to be a good game. And what I would need to be is entertained. And that's what I want. And I hope this game, like you said, is not a blowout and that I'm entertained. If I can do that, then I've had a good day.
I'd agree. We've had a good playoff so far. They've been pretty entertaining. There's a couple blowouts. But how about for this game, our last game here, Kansas City and Buffalo? A cold game, I'm sure.
Wow. Absolutely. In Buffalo. Did you see? Now, you're in Chicago. Did you see the conditions they had in Buffalo?
Yes. Yeah. Ben? I saw them. They were digging out feet of snow. They had a big snowball fight right before when they should have had the game.
What did you think about like the way they did it? Because I've been to Chicago when they paid the people $20 an hour to clear off the snow. They didn't want to pay the people in Buffalo. There was too much snow out there. And for them to cancel a game in Buffalo, that's deep, Ben. I mean, you know, because, you know, you're talking about like Chicago, that's just what they do. In Buffalo, that's what they do. For them to do that, it had to be something.
Yeah, you've got, you've got people out here constantly begging for an indoor stadium or the opposite, trying to keep it to the natural style. Outdoor football. And I think, Buffalo did it well, though. If they had $20 an hour, hey, I may be looking to do that, get some extra cash myself.
And freeze. You might have, some frozen feet and frozen fingers unless you got good stuff on it. But who are you going in Kansas City, Buffalo?
For Kansas City, Buffalo, this is a really awesome matchup. It's one of those that I wish they were in different leagues so that they could meet in the Super Bowl, actually. But I think it's going to be one of those knockdown, drag-out quarterback things, quarterback challenges. And just throwing it out there, I think it's time for Josh Allen to take his place and get a good run into the playoffs, hopefully into the Super Bowl.
Ben, I have to agree with you on our last game. Last two games these guys played, some of the best football I've ever seen. Both quarterbacks are two of the best at what they do. And like I said, this should be entertaining. It should be worth having dinner over anything because it's going to be fun to watch. Well, Ben, outstanding job. Thank you for subbing for Charles Way. And we will see you sometime next week. And I have to thank Ben. He always takes care of us, always makes us look good. And don't forget, we're in the alumnimedia.com. We come on Fridays at 9 a.m. So for Charles Way and for Big Ben helping us out, I'm Billy Taylor, ladies and gentlemen. Have a great week.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.